Music today, huh? You know what? Let's give it up for our music team. I mean, they were great job. Our scripture reading today, I guess I better get these out, is Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just, again, so grateful to have this opportunity to come and learn from your word. And, Lord, we just are just so grateful to have so many here this time of year. And, Lord, just please be with Pastor Craig as he delivers today's message. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Brad. Continuing through our series here in the Psalms, the message of Psalm 62 is actually a very common one in the Psalms, and really a very common one in the whole of Scripture. And the message is, trust in God. Trust in God. And that truly is the major theme of Scripture. But in Psalm 62, King David emphasizes his reasoning for trusting in God. Now, I don't know if you've ever trusted in something that has only caused you to worry the whole time you trusted in it. You know, it's one of those things where you're kind of regretting the decision that you made. We had an irrigation pond near our house where I grew up. And as kids, we would pass by this pond every morning on our way to the bus stop. Well, in the winter, it would freeze over from time to time. But being southern Utah, it would not freeze over much. All right. Maybe an inch, 2 inches, 3 inches if we had a really cold day. But of course, the instant that it did freeze over, we would challenge one another to cross it. And I remember on more than one occasion, and typically when we step out on it, it wasn't thick, it would break right away. But occasionally, if we had a good cold day, I remember stepping out on it and kind of working my way very slowly, very gingerly across that ice, and on more than one occasion getting about halfway and actually hear it start to crack under my feet. And then very as cautiously as I could possibly be, regretting the decision I've made, make my way the rest of the way across. Well, I remember in that moment being incredibly nervous, thinking, it's going to break, I'm going to fall in, I'm going to have to go home and change my clothes, I'm going to end up missing my bus, and the worst part of all is my parents will be very, very angry. Well, I never did fall through, all right? The Lord was obviously watching out for us. But what I remember the very most about doing that, the thing I remember the very most in that time, regretting my decision, was finally getting to the other side and the relief of finally having my feet on solid ground. I mean, just a night and day change in my trust. Where I was worried the entire time I was on the ice, the instant I got to the other side, it was like, oh, all right, I made it. I made it. And our psalm today, in our psalm today, David actually likens God to a solid rock, to describe the calmness that can only come upon us from trusting in Him. In fact, I have heard many, many testimonies. I've heard many, many people describe their moment of salvation as a burden being lifted from them. Okay? All through life, they had this burden of sin, this weight on them, this worry, so to speak. But the instant they place their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, the worry is gone. The burden is lifted. And that's kind of what David is describing here. Not necessarily a salvation experience, but just the solid rock that God is, and the fact that he could go through life, really, with no reason to worry. And I'll just tell you, as we look at some of these things today, one thing I want you to keep in mind is that if we worry, it's because we're not trusting in God. All right? If we have worry in our life, it's because we are not trusting in God. Truly, the believer in Christ, the person who is his child, has nothing to worry about. Now, typically, when we do worry, it's because we're not trusting in God. We're probably trusting in something. We're misplacing our faith, okay? We're walking on thin ice. We're doing something perhaps we should not be doing. As we look at this psalm, David likens God to a solid rock to describe the calmness that can only come from trusting in him. And really why that's the case. In fact, the emphasis of this psalm is only God. Those words appear several times in this psalm. God alone is the reason we can make our way through life worry-free. God alone is our only reason that we can function in this life without worry. Trusting in God is where it's like standing on a solid rock. And this psalm communicates that. Listen to some of the terminology that we find in this psalm. He says, he alone is my rock. He alone is my defense. He alone is my hope. He alone is my refuge. Only him can I trust at all times. He is powerful. He is merciful. He is my judge. So in him only will I trust. These are some of the kinds of phrases that we find in this. And as a result, verse 1 says this, truly, my soul silently, that is, restfully, calmly waits for God. In essence, David says, when I trust in God, I am able to rest assured. I am able to rest assured without worry. Well, in this psalm, we're going to find three reasons that caused David to rest assured in his Lord. In fact, this psalm is designed to encourage us, to encourage anyone who might read or sing this song, to encourage us to rest in God only, just like David did. Our subject is God alone, and the very first reason that we can rest in him is this: God alone is our only real rescue. God alone is our only real rescue. Let me read the first four verses. He says, truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Now, here's what he's talking about here. He's kind of contrasting the reliability of God with the unreliability of man. Really, he's contrasting the God of defense with men of destruction. God by nature wants to help and save or rescue people. Man by nature can hurt people, and he's selfish. As a young man, my dad taught me a little bit about defending myself, a little bit how to fight if that ever had to happen. And he, with it, he also taught me some moral grounds of fighting, if you can imagine. He said, don't hit below the belt. Don't attack a man from behind. Don't kick a man when he's down. That, he said, is the respectable way to fight if one needs to, if one needs to defend himself. Well, the ungodly, they don't fight like that. They're about destruction. In fact, I've heard of street fights where thugs or muggers, whatever, have come up from behind a person and just hit them in the face and kicked them when they're down. In fact, I heard of one story where a guy was mugged. He was being kicked on the ground by this mugger, and his rescuer came to him and chased the mugger away. And then he robbed the guy that was down. That's the world we live in. That's man today. All right. Well, from our passage, David says man can destroy. They attack. They assault. They, for their own benefit, want to knock people down. They want to take advantage of them while they're still down. And they do this both with deceptive words and destructive deeds. They may even sometimes appear to be there to help. But then their own selfish motives are revealed. Our passage here describes not only knocking a person down, but when they're like a leaning fence, our passage says, or a tottering wall, then they even take advantage of them. They'll not hesitate to kick a man when he's down. Man, he can destroy. Now, I believe that the language being used here is kind of figurative language that's describing schemes rather than an actual brawl. But the end of verse 4, it says, they bless you with their mouth and curse you in their hearts. This is a scheme, the scheme of man, the selfish desires. That's what it leads to, kicking a man when he's down, taking advantage of him. The point being, man, no matter who he is unreliable because he has within himself that selfish nature that can even lead him to attempt to destroy others for selfish gain. Now, I pray truly that we as believers, that we as Christians would be reflecting Christ and not be selfish and destructive. But here we learn that when we trust in men, we're treading on thin ice. I will just tell you, and I've said this before, but there will be times I would never want this to happen, okay? But I will tell you that if you count on me, sooner or later, I'm going to let you down, because that's our nature. God alone is the only one we can truly trust. We have reason to worry if when we trust in man because we don't know their heart. However, where man can destroy, David's point here is that God can defend. We can know God's heart. God alone is our only real rescue. He is the only one we don't have to worry about ever. We never have to worry about him. He alone is our rock in our salvation. That's what David is singing about and resting in here. Now, David is not saying this so that we will never again trust in another human being as long as we live. That's not the point. The point is, when we trust in God, we will never have to worry. He will always and only do what is the absolute best for us. Hebrews 13:6 says this, so we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" God alone is our only real rescue. Lean on Him. The second reason we can rest in Him is God alone is our only real refuge. God alone is our only real refuge. Look at verses 5 through 7 now. He says, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." God alone is our only real refuge. Now, there are endangered animals in the world. The Amur lion, not a lion, it's a leopard, is one of the most rare species on the planet today. Right now, in fact, it only lives in the snowy mountains, the snowy forests of northeastern Russia. But it used to be in Korea. They used to be in China. They're now extinct in those countries. In fact, as they did a count back in 2007 of the Amur leopard, there is roughly only 25 of them left on the planet. So they've made a preserve, a refuge for them, as they do with many other animals like that. It's a safe place for them, a place where they won't be harmed, and perhaps they can grow again. Well, in our passage, David repeats what he said in verses 1 and 2 with a subtle variation. In verse 1, he says that God's salvation comes. But in verse 7, it says that God's salvation is. The variation really describes an increase in confident hope, because in place of being saved from danger, we are also now secure from danger. Therefore, in the refuge of God, David expected safety. The end of verse 5 says his expectation. Your translation might read hope, but he says that it's from God. And the literal meaning of that word in the original language for hope or expectation actually speaks of a cord and an attachment between him and God. He knows he's safe basically because he's tied or bound to God, in a sense, by a cord. It kind of reminds us of the security in Christ that we have upon being saved from sin's penalty. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says this. It says, "This hope or this expectation we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus." Basically, you and I, who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we can expect heaven because Jesus, who saved us, has gone there and anchored us to it. We are attached to heaven by Jesus. Now, there are a lot of things in this world that we might worry about, but for those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, our safety and our security in God, that's not one of those things we can worry about or should worry about. David took refuge in God, and so should we. In fact, David not only expected safety in God's refuge, but in the refuge of God, David encouraged trust. Look at verse 8. He says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." He's saying all God's children should at all times trust in Him. And this brings us back to our theme again, trust in God, for He is the only real rescue. He's the only real refuge. He's the only one we don't ever have to worry about. He always and only wants what is the absolute best for us. So trust in Him. But also, he says, all God's children should at all times pray to Him. Verse 8 says, pour out your hearts to Him. Turn your troubles over to Him. Ask for His wisdom. Ask for His comfort. Ask for His provision. Ask for His guidance. Ask for His protection. Ask for His direction. He's our dad. He wants to give us these things. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about His advice. That's where the waiting comes in. But because we're waiting on God, we can wait silently and calmly, trusting and expecting His answers. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It goes on, verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This leads us right up to our last reason this morning that we can rest in Him. God is our only real rescue. God is our only real refuge. But lastly this morning, God alone is our only real referee. A referee, of course, is one to whom things are referred, okay? But particularly, one appointed to hear, examine, and decide a cause between two parties. Basically, a judge. A judge. A referee in a sporting event is the judge, really, who watches to make sure the players play by the rules. And when they don't, he renders justice. In our country, and really around the world, justice is often symbolized by a set of scales. And it pictures the weighing or examining of evidence and testimonies and character to determine the truth of the matter, and then render justice accordingly to balance those scales. Well, look at verses 9 through 12. He says, surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. They do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. God alone is our only real referee. Now there are a lot of people that have a lot of influence in this world. People that appear by their worldly status to be able to tip the scales their direction. People who get away with exploiting and oppressing others. People who get away with robbery. People who become rich and powerful in this world because of those things. And our passage says, don't be like them. Don't be like them, because on God's scales, they weigh nothing. They weigh nothing. On God's scales, they don't carry any weight. Our verse says that as surely as men of low status in this world carry no weight in the world, in God's eyes, even those who seem to be influential and powerful really don't carry any weight. Our verse says they weigh about as much as air, vapor. So don't trust in the things that they trust in. Don't set your heart on the things that they set their heart on. Don't worry about what they think about us. Because on God's scales, they don't carry any weight. On God's scales, faith in Him is what carries weight. On God's scales, faith in Him is what carries weight. In verse 11, David had learned about this, about his true judge. He'd learned about it from God's word. God had spoken of His power. He'd spoken of His mercy. It was recorded in God's word. And David says, I have heard these things. I've heard these teachings on more than one occasion. And I believe them. God is the real powerful one. He is the merciful one. He is the one who is going to render to every person exactly what he deserves. And those who trusted in oppression, those who trusted in robbery, those who trusted in their riches, they're going to be found wanting. But those who trust and had faith in me, God says, he will be justified. He will be justified. In Romans 3:28, it says, therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith. In Galatians 3:22, it says, the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And in that, David rested. And all who trust in God may rest in that. When one trusts in God, there is a sense of quiet rest available to them regardless of the storms that are going on around them. Trust in God. God alone is our only real rescue, our only real refuge, our only real referee. I want you to listen to a passage from Mark chapter 4. The story of Jesus sleeping in the boat. Remember it? When evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat as he was. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? When one trusts in God, regardless, again, of the storms that are going on around us, and they may be difficult ones, they may cause us to worry, but I want you to know, David wants you to know, God wants you to know, that when you trust in God, He can give you rest right in the midst of that storm. There is a sense of rest available to that person regardless of the storms that are brewing around them. For He alone is our rescue. He alone is our refuge, and He alone is our referee. And therefore, we too can say, truly, my soul silently waits for God. We worry, don't we? Liar. We worry, don't we? God's our source of rest. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this. It's just very obvious that David, he had his ups and downs in life, and this was certainly written during one of those down times. And he, through the power of your Spirit, brought to mind what he has in you alone. The fact that you are the only source of these things, and he was thankful that he had you because of it. Lord, I pray for us here this morning, because we, like David, we are still going through this life, and while we have that eternal relationship with you, we have mountains and valleys in our life. And so often when we get into that valley, Lord, we tend to lose sight of you. But Lord, thank you for being there anyway. Thank you for bringing this song to David's mind so that we could read through it today and know that you alone are exactly what we need when we need it. Thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.